That looks good to me.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Brown Bricks Podcast, the most amount of fun you can have on a freaking podcast on your Monday afternoon.
You know it, Jackson. I'm Jack.
And I already said it, stepping on that a little bit.
Do the whole there's a weird like sexual tension between most casters, right? Yeah. When there's like when they're talking, they're using her first names. Yeah, Phineas is down and out today, so he's watching little he watches like high school basketball games.
Yeah,
for girls' high school basketball. And he didn't want to miss
it's
this.
Cool
game.
And normal.
Well, no, he just hangs in the back most of the time.
Yeah,
it's not like a weird way.
No,
he just loves the sport.
Yeah, you ever? I'm always like really confused when I see that there's like high school like football or whatever on TV. I'm like, what the
yeah,
fuck?
What do, you
do people watch this on TV?
It is something.
You turn like, the channel to watch this.
I don't know. I guess the only people I could understand watching that are like parents, and they're all at the game most of the time.
Yeah,
in those scenarios, to,
well,
like,
if you
fill
can't
up the crowd.
Be at the game, why would you watch it like at home?
I think my parents were like one time. They're like, "Oh, some school's playing some other school," and they were watching it downstairs. And I was so confused because it's like it's a bunch of like high schoolers, so the gameplay is a lot worse than like college. Because you also with high schoolers, like with college, you're mostly only getting like people who have like trained their ass off in order to get to that point,
but they also have like millions of dollars of production value.
Yeah, whereas you can tell it was like on a shoestring budget. Like,
yeah,
like whoever
somebody's fucking VHS cam they got set up,
and they've got like commentator. The commentator is normally okay because like there's kind of a plateau in the middle of commentary where it's like as long as you're not just
so
like
bad you could do, you know.
Yeah, I mean you could do really bad, but like most people if you're like mildly competent and watch sports a lot, like you could get to that like
point. It's a bell plateau.
Yeah, and then like there's like guys who are really good and like elevate the game, but like those guys are there's like five of those guys alive and one of them's John Madden. I think he actually might be dead.
And one of them's me.
And one of them's you and I.
And we're
talking
really good at
Brown
casting.
Brown Bricks Podcast.
I suck at casting sports.
I would hate fun. It. It was, I think, like, doing that, it's something where, like, the insights that you'd have to give to people would be something where I'd want, like, anime-style time
doing
stuff.
Doing that, like, I guess maybe they only do it, like, once a week for, like, the really professional ones, but then you have to be, like, doing something else the rest of the week. I don't know.
I mean, I know that a lot of casters will have like law businesses. I remember like
is this like a well-known secret or
all what? I know is it's like referees and like casters, like those people who are like peripheral to the actual sports themselves, like professional casters who are like, my job is to like cast like all of the college football games for like NBC.
Yeah,
like those guys, that's their job. But like the guys who like are in the stands or whatever are probably just like guys who like work a door job across the week and then like do that and get paid for that. So they probably don't make like money from that. They probably just do it for the love of the game.
If we know anything, folks, there's not a lot of money to be made from holding the microphone.
No, there's not. But there is a lot of infamy to be made. Because we got our Spotify Wrapped all officially sent to
right,
us.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Send us your Spotify Wrapped and tell us if we were your top podcast.
Yeah, tell us if you were one of the 12 people who we were the top podcast of.
Because we like you. We want to be
you.
Your friend.
We love you.
We'll give you a little kissy.
We were in 42 fans' top five podcasts. And
who are you, people?
And 162 fans, top 10. So I think it's like they listen to half a second. They're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, who's listening to more than 10 podcasts?
Me, but like, I'm like the power user.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bit different. You know, you can't say that you're.
90% of our listeners discovered us in 2023.
That's good.
That's crazy.
I think.
That's like.
Maybe bad. Maybe means not a lot of long-time listeners.
20% of our... Well, I think it was like... I think it was like there's always like some churn, but it's something where I think our numbers went up overall. So it was something that was like the small amount of long-time listeners and then like got boosted
by... A bunch of newbies.
By a bunch of newbies.
Some new heads.
Hopefully discovering us from our YouTube channel. I think the episode 41, Low Tier God Fundamentally Misunderstands Dr. Seuss, really brought them in. 20% of your new listeners started right here.
Wow. So, that's actually a crazy about why.
That is weird. It's like 21% of people were just like, hell yeah. Because that one did very well, and I was like, why?
I think I liked that bit, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah. As the Sneetches get,
the Starbelly Sneetches
to kill themselves.
Those guys fucking rock. Like, let's see. Funny. Because you, we got a 58% increase in streams. No one cares about that stuff. But yeah. Anyways, and our number one episode, our top episode that was streamed 206% more than our average episode is episode 103. And Then God Said, "No More N Words in Roblox."
I'm glad you guys have good taste.
Oh yeah. What's it called?
Thanks everybody.
One of my coworkers, he like left our company, and like he was on my team, so like I knew him pretty well, and as like a last, like, you can't get me fired for this anymore, and I like knew him pretty well and I knew his sense of humor, I was like, here's our podcast. And he was like, these titles, man. And I just laughed at that.
That's pretty good.
Just to be like, here you go.
Hairy,
like, you
man.
knew part of me. So yeah, hey, now if you're listening to this,
hey man, what's up?
Yeah,
I'll never meet you, but
you'll know Jax on a deeper fundamental level than you ever wished to knew him. To knew him?
To know him. Me.
Getting to know you. But yeah, I don't know. Phineas normally has such great insights.
Well, I really appreciate all y'all for even taking a listen.
It is kind of wild that anybody listens.
Yeah.
I'm always like flabbergasted by anybody listening. So thank you for listening on this 2023. We'll have our New Year's resolution one on. We have to
soon.
We have to do a Nogcast too.
We gotta do a Nogcast.
Yeah.
What day is it today?
The 9th. Yeah.
I can do that next week.
Oh yeah, that works for me. Yeah, we'll deal with the admin later. But what have you been up to?
Well, as you probably are aware, the TGAs was on Thursday.
Oh yeah, it's all like some shit about.
There's
that.
A lot of discussion about the TGAs, a lot of stuff we can discuss about the TGAs, mainly not a lot of cool games announced this year, Jeff, and that's all I really gave a fuck about. So
there was,
what's
like,
going on?
Jet Set Radio I heard about.
Yeah, I don't like Jet Set Radio.
I think it's fan. Okay. I liked it. I played a little bit of it when it came to Steam, and I was like, this is cool.
Bomb Rush Cyberpunk is already like, looks like a better like redo of that.
I haven't seen that one.
It's literally made by like the same people.
Oh, it is.
But it's not like a remake. They just made
a new
different
game.
That's like the same stuff.
Like the one guy who made like the Spider-Man 2 game. I remember because Spider-Man 2 had like the best swinging, and then he tried to make a Kickstarter to fund his new game that was like all swinging time trial based, and then they didn't make him enough money.
Sad.
I thought that was really
sad, very funny. Very sad. So yeah, people are upset about like obviously the amount of Hollywood actors they brought in there, because Simu Liu was there, Matthew McConaughey was there, Timothée Chalamet,
yeah, Andrew Mackey, I saw.
Yeah, Andrew Mackey. Well, at least he had like a thing related to video games.
What was he all about? What was he doing?
He
there?
Was on Twisted Metal, the TV show.
Yeah,
which is, I guess, getting a second season on Peacock because it actually did pretty well. Apparently,
I
watched one episode of it. And it was fine.
It's that and Five Nights at Freddy's. It's like, what else
Peacock's,
do we have?
Peacock's corner in the video gaming market. Actually, nobody even brought up Five Nights at Freddy's, which is really kind of, I don't know.
There's
going to
be a
why
best,
they would have.
There's going to be a best video game adaptation to like film and TV show next year, isn't there?
They do best video game adaptation, but I guess not a lot of them have been movies.
Okay. What are they normally?
Five Nights at Freddy's came out pretty recently, so maybe it wasn't like qualified.
I have no clue.
I don't think it would have won, but
I think it probably did.
The Last of Us won.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I thought that was fair. It was good.
Yeah, it was a good show.
But then they had to send Neil fucking Cuckman up there to accept another award, and I'm like, fuck.
I do hate that guy. He's
a piece of shit.
Apparently he's a Zionist too, which is
yeah.
I don't know. It's all this weird thing where they have this obsession with like Hollywood, and everyone is talking about how the video game industry is like so much bigger than Hollywood at this point, but they're still like obsessed with being like...
I think it has more to do with Hollywood's new interest in video gaming more than like video gaming's like obsession with Hollywood. They just have money that they can like put in and obviously recognizable faces. So now it's more of like a star on your career to like have like an influence in video games, like to be a part of something related to video games. Like obviously you got people like Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk and now Idris Elba in Cyberpunk. And it's like, that's like Keanu Reeves, he's a serious actor, but then you get someone like Idris Elba, who's like a serious, serious like, actor.
He chose between that or like going for like another two roles.
Yeah.
And like he went out to Poland or whatever to get his face scanned. It's something where with a lot of that is kind of an interesting way to put it, where it's like because the money's in there, they're probably like, okay, we want to appeal, like we want to like sell our movies. So like Timothée Chalamet was there for like fucking Wonka, I guess,
which
like,
not didn't make any sense.
Yeah,
they didn't even talk about Wonka,
but like they just want like his face in front of people's screens to be like, hello, look at me.
Hello, it's
like,
it's little baby Chalamet.
I think that's kind of something where I could see like them being like, okay, what is like, we need to get into this video game thing. Like, what is a big video game thing that we can just like elbow our way in? It's like everyone watches the video game awards and they don't realize how like passive that watching actually is.
It's very close to being the Oscars, except if the Oscars was supposed to literally be all ads instead of jerking themselves off.
Yeah, exactly.
The video game awards is ashamed of video games.
No, it's ashamed of giving awards. It's entire point of it is literally, and that's why people are there. They're not there. It's literally just like E3 light.
Yeah.
It's like E3, but because like, you know, the best parts of the video game awards have never been like, remember when Cyberpunk won best ongoing game award? It's like, no, the best parts of video games awards are like, remember when Joker got announced for Smash? Like that's all anyone ever talks about afterwards. So it's literally just E3 light. And I think there's like some sort of prestige that they try to bring to it. And I think it's funny because it like, there's like the back and forth poll of like, these guys really want to be taken seriously, but everyone knows that it's just like a fucking clown show of like, like the actual developers get to like dress up all nice, which is sweet. I think it's cool.
They get some good outfits up there.
Yeah.
And they look good on stage, but then they just don't let them talk for very long.
Yeah, I saw
they,
that.
They
like
let
the wrap
the
it
fucking
up.
Like actors and stuff like go on forever. And
the people
really
talking
cringe.
About how they brought in Crunch to the video game awards.
Yeah.
They added that.
Anthony Mackie like going up and making like the most unfunny like crowd work of all time and just being really
Did
awkward.
He really do some crowd work?
He was just like awkwardly like pointing out people in the crowd and being like, shut up, shut up. I'm trying to do the award.
That
shut
is
up.
It's kind of funny how like how much people shit their pants on stage at the VGAs. Like it's almost impressive where you see like guys get up there and they'll just like it'll be like Al Pacino. Remember, he's like, My daughter plays video games. And it's like every time an actor goes up there, like it's there. I only remember actors going up there, like, what's it called? When they were talking about Tekken 7, the Fast and the Furious guys. It's like, they just go up there, shit their pants, and leave, and everyone laughs at them. And I'm always like, why does anyone loop back around? They're like, no, we got to get you in here. Like, this is big for your career, Timothée Chalamet.
Well, to be honest, Timothée Chalamet was the least cringe one, because all he did was give the fucking award. He did not even make any jokes.
It was a real award ceremony. I think Anthony Mackie's like, what is this fucking clown show?
He showed up. Idris Elba was nominated for an award. He was not there.
Good for him. He understands the assignment.
He was not fucking there. And then like I don't know why the fuck Matthew McConaughey was there. He had like his own like space game to announce. And I'm like, what? It's like Interstellar, but not Interstellar. Some very tangential property that does not.
I want to be in the room where that happens. Like the room where that gets either
you
suggested.
You get the all right guy to
or like
get in my video game.
Was he like the guy who spearheaded it? Where it was like he calls his agent. And he's like, I want to make a video game, and then they're like, okay. And so he just has a bunch of pull, or is it like somebody somewhere has an in with, they're like, my brother knows Matthew McConaughey's agent, and so we can get him in our Starfield game.
I don't fucking know, man. It looked weird as fuck. Obviously, no gameplay was shown. It was just acting reel of CGI Matthew McConaughey. Except it wasn't. It didn't look like him, which I thought was like, oh, that's an interesting choice for an actor to make your video game character not look like you.
That is,
if it even was his choice.
Yeah, that is a weird way to do that. I guess if he's like acting them, no, that's just really weird. Why would he do that? What's the point?
I don't know.
The point of like having Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk was that he would show up and say, wake the fuck up, samurai.
It's Keanu Reeves, and you're like, holy fuck, it's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, and you're like, that's Keanu Reeves. Not like, who is this guy? Oh, he's really good at acting.
His voice is so cool, but
I think also actors fundamentally misunderstand why people play video games.
Yes.
Like, when they see, like, Pizza Tower getting nominated, they're like, this is a sham. And it's like, people are like, no, I mean, the Pizza Tower losers were all up in force, but it's something where,
dude, yeah, that actually made me really mad. It's like how mad the Pizza Tower like fans got that a different game won like best debut indie.
What won best?
Cocoon.
Okay,
it's like some like little puzzle game that I think looks kind of neat. Yeah. And I'm like, Pizza Tower is fucking great. Yeah,
it's also I think a lot of people put a lot of stock.
Fucking chill out. Yeah, nobody gives a fuck about these awards. It's why like are you the so
same,
mad?
It's like the same people who like when they see a bad review on a game they like, they're like, I need to harass this person.
This person needs like, to fucking
I need
die.
To kill them. And it's
how
like,
dare they disrespect my Genshin Impact?
Yeah, that just has always bothered me because I'm just like. You do realize that it's like no one like you. The only thing that matters is that you liked the game in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. They're like literally like posting online, like pointing out like how many reviews Pizza Tower has compared to Cocoon. It's like, look,
that's
yes,
my favorite.
Your game is good. People like it.
That's my
Are
favorite.
Are you not happy?
Part.
Are like, you not happy about people liking your game?
Somebody goes into like the code and they're just like, look how many more scripts Pizza Tower has in comparison. It's like. Look how many more assets that...
Yes, it's good. People... It was nominated for an award. Yeah. It's good. It's a good game.
And other people thought that one was... Like, clearly you know nothing about this other game.
Yeah.
Like, you weren't like, okay, let's compare evenly. You just saw that something lost.
No, yeah. They're literally just like, who? What even is Cocoon? It's like, it's another indie game.
That you can be like, oh, wow, that one sounds cool. If it beat... Like, for me, it's like if a game that I liked got beat by that, there'd be like a twinge of like, oh, I really like that game.
Especially in the fucking indie category, yeah. When it's like everything there is like fought tooth and nail against 1,000 other games to even be on that stage.
The fact that was on that stage already boosts like its like notoriety so much that it's something that you're just like, okay, we like this is good regardless. Like rising tide raises all ships, and especially if it's like, oh, I haven't heard of this game, then it probably if it's good and it wins. That's like so much better for it than like Cocoon, and then it just like goes by and no one talks about it anymore. Yeah. I don't know. It's stupid. I hate reward shows for that reason, where people in the Oscars are like, no,
should have won.
It's more just it lends like a lack of legitimacy to an award show if like there's a consensus amongst people and then they just don't follow with that consensus. But for me, it's just like, who cares?
Yeah, really, who like if you were not there to just see like ads,
what are you
doing? Went to the wrong game show, the wrong award show.
You could cut up the non-ad based parts of that and it would be like a 7-minute long show.
Yeah.
It'd be like it wouldn't even make monetization on YouTube, like that level.
I mean, my favorite parts of the show were very easily the part with Gonzo. I like the Muppets.
Oh,
and
I like when they bring
the Muppets
on. Didn't they
on.
Bring in Kermit? And like some sort of ethereal.
No, they had Animal on last year.
Okay, that's cool. So Gonzo came in this year.
Gonzo's this year. And then the year before that, I think they had Swedish Chef. And the year before that, I feel like. I don't remember who it was. I don't know if Kermit's ever been on. Anyways, that part. And then obviously everything with Hideo Kojima, because that man is so fun to watch.
He did,
just be on stage.
Yeah, like interacting with humans.
Yeah.
He's an odd fellow, I'll tell you what.
I'm excited for him and Jordan Peele's game.
The one, there has been that good gif. Like when my mother finds the piss drawer or something like
just
that.
The freaky scream.
Yeah, it was one of those things where like when you saw that, you're like, yep, that's a Hideo Kojima game.
Oh yeah, brother.
In all fairness though, When I saw Death Stranding's trailer, I was like, this is going to be fucking awesome. Because it was that part where he was like wandering around and the baby evaporates. Yeah. And then at the very end, there's all those guys floating in the sky.
And it was. The game gives you that same feeling. I know. Then there's a lot of other stuff.
then there's like the autistic, like, I need to carry this package optimally to the next place.
I will say, like, Hideo Kojima, again, is like probably one of only two video game auteurs there are. Yeah. And I couldn't tell you who the second one really is besides somebody like fucking
Neil Gaiman. Or Neil Druckmann.
No, not Neil Druckmann.
Or anyways, Neil Auteur.
He uses the medium to tell his story, which is better than, you know, like, people are like, Kojima should just make a movie. He loves making movies so much. He's like, no, actually, he loves making fucking video games.
No, he wants to make a movie. he's, like, making a movie in Hollywood.
He's making a documentary about making Death Stranding, which I'm like,
that's cool. Was that the movie that he was talking about? Because he was like, I finally am going to make a Hollywood movie.
I don't know. It's going to be like, because his documentary is being released on Disney Plus.
That's weird.
Why?
That's weird. This is all so weird.
Why? I don't know. Yeah. I don't actually know how much he really wants to make a movie, because he totally could if he wanted to, is the thing.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, also, I wonder how much his sphere of influence, like, casts outside of video games. I'm wondering if there's, like...
He's got, like, a billion Hollywood actors in every one of his fucking video games.
I know, but, like, is that the novelty of that? But, like, if you go to, like, a production committee and you're like, I want to make a movie, it's like, okay, but, like, who are you? Like...
I think they'd know. I think they'd know by now. I think they've caught on to that at least a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
He's just the only one who's really been, like, so, like, cross mediums, I suppose, in his approach.
I'm curious to see how much, like, sway he would have in, like, a box office sense, though.
I would be very curious about that.
Because he's not going to make, like, Ant-Man 4. Like, no. He's going to make...
No, he's making his own fucking...
Yeah, and then, like, it's going to be the most expensive fucking thing ever. It's going to go way over budget, way over time, and then it's also going to be something where it's going to be the weirdest, most surreal shit you've ever seen. And is that going to be... Like, in video games, it almost, like, kind of only works because he's, like... It's like, when you're playing a Hideo Kojima game, there's, like, nothing else like it.
Yeah, you know what to expect and that you know to not expect anything specific.
I mean, like, you know, using the medium as the message is, like, something that a lot of video game people don't do. They're either very focused on gameplay, or they're, like, very focused on the story where the gameplay is, like, auxiliary to, like, everything else. Mm-hmm. And you can tell they were made, like, separate rooms, whereas the gameplay informs, like, the entire point of the story.
Yes, and I think that's why he does it so well. But... We'll see. Very curious.
We shall see.
All right, what else you got?
Let's see. I actually don't think I've watched this. I labeled it the worst place on earth, and it's from TikTok Investors, one of my favorites.
This is the man who has the drawings all over his walls.
No? Maybe. One sec. I will see. It might be. If not, then we need to find that one.
No, I have not seen that.
Life insurance. What's your biggest monthly income? Last month, I made $100,000. And for all you guys that are hating in the comments on TikTok, why don't you look around right now? It's Friday night. Friday night at 7 o'clock at night. See, people are on this bullshit hating in TikTok comments when watch what they're doing Friday night. Why don't you turn the camera around, see what you're doing Friday night at 7 o'clock? Because I guarantee you're not working. We're locked in, making money. You can keep watching. You can keep hating. And we're going to keep winning.
All right, what do you sell?
Yes, sir. I sell life insurance. And what's your biggest monthly income?
Insurance. My biggest monthly income was around $40,000.
Oh.
All right, L. What do you sell? Life insurance. What's your biggest monthly income?
Everything included, $50,000.
What do you sell?
Life insurance.
And what's your biggest monthly income?
October, $27,000 net.
And what kind of car do you drive?
I drive an AMG GT. Oh, shit.
What do you do for a living?
I don't know what that is.
Sell life insurance. What's your biggest?
They all sound like they want to kill themselves when they say that.
What kind of car do you drive?
Like, what do you do?
Audi R8.
What?
Yeah, I do think it was labeled Nightmare Blunt Rotation. Imagine just like, because it's one of those things where whenever I see those, I'm just like, their life has to be like kind of sad. Where it's like, that's what they're doing on Friday at 7.
You're really getting like juiced about the money, obviously.
Yeah.
But then you come to terms with what you're actually doing and you're like, fuck.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
That's, I don't like doing this. This sucks.
Why is like, this is a Friday night at 7:30 and look what we're doing. It's like, you guys are like standing around playing fucking ping pong.
Yeah.
I can see them over there playing it.
I mean, that is the funny thing about like working is that a lot of those guys, I assume, are like very hurry up and wait, where once they do get working, they become giant assholes. And like, they're like, I've got a call. Like, everybody's got to quiet down. But then like for like 6 hours of their day, they're just sitting around like stewing and like, oh my God, I can't. Or they're making like dead calls of like, I do hate, because like life insurance is just a bunch of guys like making calls.
Oh yeah, it's just cold calling.
Trying to like scam you. So like, I don't know. I guess you are making a lot of money, but like, I don't like sales positions for the reason that most of the time, like, you have to sell people on things that normally don't make their life better. Mm-hmm. And especially with like life insurance, if you're talking about how much money you're making, you're not making people's lives better with that.
No, you're maybe like helping their peace of mind.
No,
not really.
You're stealing their money.
Yeah, not really. I don't know. I'm never going to buy life insurance when I die. Nothing's going to happen.
I mean, I guess like the worst case scenario is that you just like don't have life insurance and your kids don't get any money.
Well, who says I'm having kids?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess you could like, yeah, I guess like,
need,
who,
do you need life insurance if you're like single and like alone?
That would be funny. Is there just like,
is that a thing?
I want one of those guys to call me. So then I could just be like, actually I'm single. I never plan on having kids.
No, you gotta prep them. You gotta be like, okay, I want to take out like a $100,000 policy.
I'm a single income, no kids.
Yeah,
so
I'm a dink.
Yeah, I'm not a dink, I'm a sink. So maybe you can talk to me about how this improves my life in any way, shape, or form when you're just trying to sell me something that only happens when I die. So
Can I put all my money when I die into like my insurance payout into some kind of fund that pays a guy to go kill you?
Yeah. Or can I put it all into something where I just, you find the shadiest guy at the bar and say, buy every pickle ticket on in that entire thing.
Some fucking like insurance goes, officer has to walk up and hand him like a rack of fucking millions.
Yeah, and then he says, here you go, sir.
This is all yours.
Yeah, I just really high rolling them. It's like, I'll buy your most expensive plan if you promise me, cross your heart, hope to die, that you pretend to be Santa and go door to door and give every person in Omaha a dollar bill.
Fuck, okay, I'm about to get like 2% commission on this. It'll be so good.
Yeah, they're just like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's probably worth it. It's like, and then you like draft like a contract and they're like, oh fuck, this was like, I got a trip to Fiji after I signed the deal. I thought he wasn't serious about this, but this is like legally binding now. And then you just fucking kill yourself.
That's like, it.
You got to do that today, motherfucker.
That's the end of that life insurance agent.
Yeah, that's there's probably no better use of your life than screwing over a life insurance person. Like somehow, if there was a way that I could die, but like every life insurance person would just have a miserable rest of their life.
It's a worthwhile trade.
Oh yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know what else is a worthwhile trade?
Well, when you said the worst place on earth, I saw this other video the other day of, I forget what the guy's name is, but I guess he got pretty viral on TikTok, but all he does is make like the shittiest doodles of all time, but like all over. So it's like,
oh, was that the one where it's the like guy, the guy has, he's based off of like the Keith Haring or whatever,
the actual like famous like good artist?
Well, that guy rocked because he was like, okay, this is my art is for like everybody. The entire point of it was that it's supposed
it's
to
like
be cheap
in public
and supposed to be like just like fun and everyone's supposed to enjoy it. And so he made a lot of money, but always donated it back to really good causes.
Yeah.
Because he was supposed to be like, this is the art that's supposed to be like for the masses. And he was like really big on that. And then I did see that house
with
the guy
TikTok
painted.
Guy, yeah. He apes the Keith Haring style.
But shittier.
And just doesn't use any color for whatever reason. But so he bought a house, and I guess the entire house was like made of whiteboard or whatever the fuck. I don't even know how he did all of this. Or maybe he just painted it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Very, like, well done, I will say. But he's drawn all over every fucking inch of this house in that style.
Yeah.
And it's all in black and white, and it looks like fucking, like, a maze is drawn on every part of the wall. It looks like shit.
It is, like, wild, though, because it's, like...
It's impressive in a way.
But, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, this guy's insane. Like, this guy's not just trying to, like, grift. It's, yeah, like, you don't do that. This isn't, like, some sort of, like, weird, like, TikTok.
You have... thoroughly destroyed the property value of
because
that
it's
house.
A nice house, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and now it is not a nice house in almost any way, shape, or form. I was just always very curious while watching that video. It's like, where do they like do anything? Yeah, he said he drew all over everything in the kitchen, but they hadn't tested whether it all still works. I'm like, what do you mean, man?
Did he, like, just get that house?
I think so. That's the first thing you have to do is fucking draw
paint
your stupid bullshit all over everything.
Oh, yeah. No, I found it. I think, at least with this, though, like, wouldn't it be something that you'd want to move in and then slowly but surely come to and be like, oh, cool, I'm going to paint, like... If you actually were an artist, wouldn't you be like, I want to paint like the kitchen today, and you get to like think on like what you're going to do on everything, and that'd be part of the fun?
Yeah, no, the way he goes about it is so fucking ass.
Hello there, I'm Mr. Doodle, and
yeah,
this
Mr.
is my
Doodle,
Doodle house.
Fucking die.
I'd like to give you a tour,
Mr.
so please
fucking
come
Doodle.
Through.
Fuck
so
you.
Cool.
Fuck you.
Inside, all of the outside.
Yeah, he's got no presenting like personality either.
I enjoyed that very much.
This,
I would be embarrassed if I had made this and was trying to like show somebody.
I skipped to 4:13 in the video, and he looks like he's inside like some sort of weird like hellscape. Because all of his like furniture matches his walls, yeah, so it like blends in this weird way.
I don't know how he like did he draw on that. How did that even happen? Like, what did he do?
That makes me think that there was like it wasn't just him doing that. That makes me think that like he set it up like that, and he's like Mr. Doodle's a popular enough man as
we're gonna commission these chairs to look
that
like
he can
this.
Like afford to be like okay, and then a bunch of
how the fuck can he afford that? This is something you should make like maybe like $2,000 a month on like TikTok.
This is something
doing
where it's like he should be like begging on
making
Patreon.
Personal doodles.
Yeah,
like,
and then everyone
how the fuck does he have enough money to make a house and then make every bit of furniture in the house look like that.
I love the idea that he's like, he's a struggling artist. So like what he does is he's like, yeah, like if you pay me this much a month on Patreon, I will draw your like doodle. And it's all just like inflation furry porn. He's just like,
just that little like doodle art style.
Yeah. And he's like, in this part of my house is where I put like the commission parts.
I wrote their name up here.
Yeah. It's just
they
like,
really paid me a lot of money to do this.
It's just like Lucario eating a melodic. He's just like
it's kind of like obfuscated by the fact that it's like a cute little doodle, so you're like
what is that?
What the
and
fuck?
You like really look into it, you're like oh jesus
what the.
He's like, I don't like staying in this room for too long. It really does a number
it
on
really
my psyche.
Reminds me of my crimes.
Yeah, because he's like so happy throughout the rest of the video, and he gets like deadly serious, like, we don't have to look too long in this room. We don't have to be in here too long. It's
these
not
people
that
all gave me $20,000 to draw this on my wall.
They let me afford the house, I guess, so like that's all I need.
Yeah, that guy, fucking real piece of shit. Fuck you.
Oh yeah, no, I don't like, oh, I mean like he's fine. I think
no,
it's just the fact
he's
that,
not fine.
I mean, I think he's fine. I think it's just the fact that he's aping a style of somebody who is like extremely political, and he tries to be the apolitical artist.
That, yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. He's like trying to be like, no, I don't have any politics. I just like doodling.
Yeah, I just like doodling.
What do you mean you just fucking like doodling? Are you a child?
No, it's not. Ate? If he was just a guy who liked doodling, that'd be fine. But instead, he looks exactly like a guy who was explicitly like very anti-AIDS and was like a guy who died of AIDS because he was like, because he was gay and like
wait,
supported
what?
It. Well, no, that was Keith Haring or something.
Was he?
Like, he's just aping his style 100%.
Yeah.
And that guy is like, oh, I just like doodling. And like the other guy was like very political. So, you know,
yeah,
it's something.
I want Doodle fucking Bob to come to life and kill that guy.
Doodle Bob. Meow, meow, meow.
Meow.
You know what I want?
What?
to understand this Godzilla and Kong dash scene.
Yeah, but Godzilla's arms are a bit too long.
They are. They kind of, he does look like he should be running on all fours, but they're running. But somebody,
Godzilla should not be running at all, first of all.
A Japanese fan has actually like enlightened me on
what they write here. No, I don't think I have.
So there's this random like Japanese fan or whatever, and he wrote a bunch of stuff, and if you click translate on it, it says so this is from the Godzilla X Kong A New Age or whatever, the trailer that came out.
A New Kingdom?
Yeah, and there's a scene that's been memed online where they're both like running towards the camera, and Kong's got the Infinity Gauntlet and Godzilla's like on 2 feet.
Yeah, he does have
like
the Infinity Gauntlet. What's up with that?
I don't know. They'll explain it in the movie. But some random Japanese Twitter account has said, Godzilla and Kong's dash scene has been released, and the more I watch it, the more I get excited. Maybe they're enjoying their youth to the point where they pretend to be in the middle of a joint fight, but they hit it off so much that they suddenly want to run. Or maybe Godzilla's mischievous side when he wakes up and pranks Kong. Who doesn't understand jokes at all?
Wow.
Sex cannot be erased at this moment.
Damn.
Sex cannot be erased at this moment.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
They're seeing the flirtatiousness between
those two.
And Godzilla
or maybe
and
he
Kong.
Pranked him. And then Kong just doesn't
Kong's
understand.
Kong's trying to catch up and like pull his tail or whatever.
His analysis of the scene has made me be like, yeah, this movie's gonna be awesome. It's
a fucking sexy movie.
If it's either sex, pranking, or the joys of youth.
Well, what I'm not interested in is the fact that it looks like they're gonna have to fight other Kongs.
Yeah, because like Toho's really like not into letting them use their
like
monsters.
The actual monsters.
Yeah, so they're like, well, we can use all the Kongs.
They
we
use
want.
King Ghidorah and the other. Oh, but just with the Kong movies.
Yeah,
you mean
where it's like if it's like Kong versus Godzilla, they can't use any of the other ones, and like that was like the big money maker. That was the one that really popped
Godzilla
up.
Godzilla King of Monsters was like Rodan, Mothra, fucking King Ghidorah.
And I think it's like if you're going to use those, you have to be just King or just King or Godzilla. So.
And then some other new big monster, which is not going to have the same draw.
Yeah. They used Mechagodzilla. I think there's like,
oh, yeah, they did, yeah.
I do know they're very stingy. Toho's very stingy with like their monster gallery, which sucks because like, Godzilla King of Monsters, a lot of people hated it. I thought it was fucking awesome,
yeah. Except for, I mean, all the Millie Bobby Brown parts.
Yeah, whatever. All the human parts always suck. And now in this one, apparently the director's like, there's 8 minutes of unrequited just monster action where we see no human in the shot ever. Like, I made sure. Like, it's like they know.
Yeah,
but then
you have to include the human parts. Make them not suck.
Yeah.
Or incorporate them into, like, the monster parts a bit better.
My favorite parts in, like, Godzilla Final Wars are all the Godzillas fighting. But, like, a close second is fucking when there's, like, the, like, super agent, like, action men. And they're like, we gotta stop Godzilla. And they're, like, doing all this stuff where it's, like, a video game where they've gotta, like, beat up a bunch of guys. And it's, like, an action movie. And then they press something and that helps Godzilla in the fight a little bit. Or, like, a sword comes out of the ground and he grabs it. And he's like, rawr. It's, like, a lot of the Toho ones, they realize people fucking hate the humans in it.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, okay, we need to make these guys, like, peripheral. And then, like, the final fight is always Godzilla. Like, you can't be like, and Millie Bobby Brown struggle, that's the real reason.
I still need to watch Shin Godzilla and then obviously now Godzilla -1.
Yeah, I heard those are amazing.
Godzilla -1's effects look super good.
It was funny because everyone's like, oh yeah, it's a $15 million budget, but apparently like the director was like, I wish we had that much money. Like, he's like, there's no way we could have gotten that much money.
We didn't pay the animator.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's practical. A lot of it's like an actual Godzilla
That's
suit.
Right, yeah. I saw the behind the scenes, actually. That's right.
It looks really good.
It does look good.
Fucking rocks. You know what else looks really good?
What?
Let's see. Oh, this.
Last Christmas, I gave you my yacht. The very next day, you got phantom tax.
This year, to save me from yelling, I'll give it to Kaisa Nahat.
Last Christmas, I gave you my gift. But the very next day, you got phantom
that's all you need to hear, but I thought I did think, good.
Yeah, it's probably going to be on repeat with all the
it will SpongeBob be with all the SpongeBob characters. You know, there's some nice Christmas music.
Yeah.
Throw that on really for your family.
Christmas cheer. Christmas always takes me back in like my
They ended the we were watching our high school basketball's live stream of their
on YouTube for whatever reason. Anyways, Christmas always takes me back like mentally. It feels like so when like those things clash with the reality of the current world, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it does make you like a child again, where you're like, oh, I remember those Christmas specials, and now there's new stuff because there are kids out there who are actually experiencing Christmas like it should be. And they're like, oh, you know what? I love Christmas, but I also love SpongeBob and Kai Cenat. So I need to combine
a little Phantom Tax.
It's just a matter of AI's gotten too good. So like it used to be like kids would say this to themselves and then laugh. Where they're like,
yeah, kids can't be funny on their like they can be funny on their own, but they're not going to because other people are doing what they want to do for them.
Or like when we were kids, we would say stupid shit to each other.
Yeah.
And then that would be just between us where we'd make like stupid hypotheticals. And now kids are like, oh, I could just make that. And
it's
like
a bit too homogenized. No, the person who made that is probably at least 20 something.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that's not like anyone younger than that.
That makes it worse, right?
No, yeah, 100%.
That makes it worse.
I definitely think so.
That makes it distinctly worse that there was like a 20 something guy who was like keyframing Patrick pulling his pants down while talking about Last Christmas.
Yes. It has more to do with like young like culture becoming more homogenized because of like access to TikTok and stuff like that, so everybody is now familiar with like the same jokes and stuff like that, and that's what you're going to talk about with your friends at school. You know, it's like, yeah, you see that SpongeBob singing Last Christmas video, haha.
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
it is kind of funny how
you and every fucking other little child.
Yeah, like I do think like the internet's made people less atomized in a bad way.
Yeah.
Where like culture used to be, I mean, it also it's good and bad because like now culture can be like this thing where it's very niche and it moves very quick, but like before it was like the hottest toy was made the hottest toy because kids just like were force-fed ads down their throat and they're like, this is the most important toy of the year. And it's like kids were like, I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because like the execs were just like, here's 500 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ads. And then that's all that they needed to see in order to get into it. But now it's like, what do you even like buy your kid for Christmas?
I don't know. Probably still like a lightsaber. I think that'd probably still do pretty
well. That'd probably go gangbusters.
Yeah. I don't know. Hot Wheels are hot again, I guess.
Do kids even like Star Wars anymore?
I don't know. I'm not.
That's what's
actually, yes.
Really?
Fortnite.
Fortnite.
They know what Star Wars is.
But would they rather just have like a Fortnite thing?
Would they think it's probably a Fortnite thing, you know? If they think it's anything.
If they got like a Star Wars thing, would they just be like, I wanted Peely. I wanted the Peely action figure.
Maybe. I'm fucking
Isn't that kind of awful?
No, man. Legos are obviously still very hot.
Yeah, but they're also hot with like millennials. Like,
yeah, they're hot with everybody. Everybody fucking loves Legos.
Everybody loves Legos. But I saw the, what's it called? It was like a bonsai tree Lego, and it was like $50. And I was like, ooh, that looks kind of fun.
No.
I don't know. It'd be cool. There's a bunch of those like
get
flower.
A bonsai tree.
No, but then they die if you leave them out for like more than a day.
You got to make sure to snip it.
You only snip it. I had a bonsai tree, and it was the most tragic thing in the world, because you had to water it like basically every 4 hours, except for when you sleep. You'd water it when you went to bed, and then like when you woke up, and that was the longest it went between waters. And I was like very attentive. I was a great plant dad to that entire tree. And then I was like, Mom,
are you allowed to be a tree when you're that fucking small?
Yeah, it's a tree. It's got, I mean, like, what qualifies something as a tree? It's like a sprout.
It's probably genetically a tree. I just don't respect the fact that it's a tree.
That's fair. It definitely doesn't give off tree vibes. Like, when I think tree, I think something I can cut down for warmth. You can't get shit out of a bonsai.
No.
But yeah, so then I was like, Mom, here's my bonsai tree. Please take care of it. Just water it like once a day, and she forgot about it, and then like left it without sun. It just fucking died, and she brought it out of like wherever she was holding it before, and she's like, "Ah, shit!" And then she was like, "Well, I didn't know that I was," and I was like, "No, this is like I haven't watered it for a day before, and it's fine. Like this is you forgetting to water it for like 5 days," and she was like mad at me that I left it with her, and I'm like, "I know, I'm sorry, but yeah, that was a very sad way to end my bonsai,
your bonsai tree career,
bonsai experience." You know what else is a sad way to end? I guess the Israeli-Palestine conflict is these pictures.
Do I want to read this? Oh.
Can you describe what you're seeing?
These are like little
Poland balls.
Stick figure Poland ball.
But with like sexy features.
That are...
But it's Israel okay. And Palestine.
This person deserves to be fucking killed.
Can you describe what you're seeing on the phone?
Yeah, they're like little Tumblr sexy man versions of the Israeli flag and the Palestinian flag. And then there's the Palestinian guy, he's got a rocket launcher and he's shooting it at the Israel guy. But then there's a big sexy Iron Dome man who's wearing very, very funnily, this is the best part of this, I think. He's wearing like an iron yarmulke.
Which rocks.
It's very funny.
Which is now how I'm going to view what the Iron Dome is.
Yes. And he says, "You ladies, all right." So I guess they're women?
They're women. Yeah, well, they. Whenever anyone talks about Israel, defending Israel, they're always like, she deserves to defend herself.
But then they're implying that Palestine's also a woman. And then you got Palestine with their hands tied together saying, "Free me, please." And they're giving a very slutty face towards Israel looking down on them. This is gross. This is bad.
This
person, whoever thought of this, needs to have an ice pick like shoved through their nose.
the old fashioned sort of lobotomy where it was like,
yeah, we're gonna
we didn't really know. We just knew that like
mummy.
Something up there. Right.
Before you're dead, we're gonna pull your brain out through your nose until you're normal again.
Yeah, maybe. I think
whatever part of your brain makes you think of this kind of thing, we have to extract it.
Yeah, they it was before they like knew exact science of like, oh, the what's it, this like cerebellum and close like motor control. All they knew is that the brain did shit.
And then the
brain made you do that. Somehow the brain led you to doing that, and we can't have that anymore.
We can't have that happen.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there would be, like, if you went back in time and you said you drew those and you showed them to somebody, they would maybe have, like, a very visceral reaction and kill you.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Well, I think, like,
You show that to an Israeli right now and a Palestinian, they both would be very justified in killing you.
I think if you showed that to, like, a person in Gaza, if you, like...
Oh, yeah.
If you, like, teleported in as they were, like, cowering in fear from getting... bombed, like if you like showed that to them, they would legitimately be
they'd
like
be well within their rights to
they'd be like, "We can't, we will die, but we can at least kill you before all of this is done.
At least that will be some justice done,
inshallah."
Yeah
I don't know. That's I think
I don't like I don't know there's like a I appreciate like certain kinds of art to an extent, but then there's people who just make like very weird like Tumblr sexy man art that's not like I don't know who it's for. It's not like porn and it's not like super lewd, but it is like sexual in nature.
Yeah, that's the weird where it's
where
like,
they're just making like ahego faces.
It makes me more uncomfortable when they're not getting fucked and they're just like
They're just kind of like look like they're moaning and they're like rubbing each other's like chest
and they're like breathing heavily and you can see they've got
the
like
fogged breath. Yeah, I don't like it.
And you're like, oh well, this is like clearly someone's getting off to this, but I don't like that there's no like sex happening.
Yeah.
I hate that this is real.
It's explicitly
because
not porn.
This is how you see the
it
world
is. Yeah,
this is how you interface with everyone.
And that's all. I neglected to mention they did like the thing where every character, every like Tumblr artist who draws like a bald character draws like the little coif of hair that's like made of their,
oh yeah,
like flesh or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a like the same texture as their flesh.
Well, actually,
no, that's like a thing that people do for bald characters, to, like make them look like they have
hair
when well, they shouldn't.
That's what they do when you have like a very simplified character.
It's like, yeah, like the Simpsons like, hair.
They don't have hair, and then they're just like, oh, but like this like one does weird... have hair. It's not bald. Like, this one's not bald. I need to put like this purple hair on it so it can show that it's like this person's a bad trans person, and then I can that's what those like fucking Stone Toss comics are.
I
kind of
see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
And the other weird like Japanese guy who draws like the super sand lesbian or whatever the fuck.
Super sand lesbian.
He's got the like the what was it? It wasn't the Riddler. It was like the
The Diddler.
Yeah, it might have been the. I feel like that was even too good of a joke for what it actually was.
There's a lot of good jokes you can make off the Riddler.
It was something fucking stupid to do with like gender or whatever. It's like the gender queer or something like that. Yeah.
That's like the idea of just being like a parody of Batman. The gender normative. It's like, all right,
the man.
Like, you can make fun of anybody.
That would be the parody of that, the man. And that would actually be kind of funny.
That would be, yeah, that would be. That would actually
be a little bit funny.
Yeah. No, I don't know. It's
some people should not draw. Like, you should not have hands with which to conduct these heinous crimes that you have committed upon my eyes.
I don't know.
No matter how good they are, you know, they could be, that person could draw like the best shit ever in their free time, but then they drew that.
I mean, there is a reason why, like, there's this weird thing where like, now, because I think like manga, there's people who are like, I have a story to tell and I can draw. And a lot of people are like, I have a story to tell, or I can draw, but I also want to create a story to tell. So they just like, are like, yeah, here are all my like weird views, and you're like, oh, I didn't want to see this. Like, this art's good, but
I didn't want to know what you thought about that.
Like that one comic where it's like, it's basically just like Stone Toss comics, but it's like the Predator and like the alien coming in as like illegal aliens, and it's like, oh
yeah, that's the guy I'm talking about. Yeah, the Japanese guy.
I love that guy's art. It's like, this is like it looks great.
I think it
looks good, and then it's like
competent enough for like a web comic.
Yeah, and it's like cute, but it's something where it's like whenever you read it, you're just like, oh, this I hate.
This is fucking awful. Yeah.
I don't know. Just draw like fan art.
I did like that he drew Vegeta in that comic. It's like, but Vegeta is like a good guy now.
No, but he came in as a bad guy.
But all everybody knows him as now is a fucking.
Are you really going to say that you want Vegeta? Like, okay, eventually Vegeta turned around and helped save the Earth. But like, do you really want Vegeta coming and blowing up our cities?
Yeah.
Stealing our jobs?
Yeah. I'd be friends with Vegeta.
No, you wouldn't. He would fucking kill
Vegeta
you.
Vegeta would love me.
No, Vegeta would fucking kill you.
Vegeta would be my friend.
That's what you fucking liberals think, don't you? You're like, oh, Vegeta would be my friend. I'd be friends with him. And
I'd
then it's like, no.
Friends with Vegeta.
Nope. Then Vegeta would just fucking nuke you off the map.
No, he wouldn't.
You'd have to beat him in a battle of wits.
I could do that.
You know who might be your friend?
Who?
Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Talking about on re-recording her old albums.
Oh, God,
for her Time,
so cringe.
Her Time magazine. Also, I must say, her Time Person of the Year, like, photo shoot looks fucking awful.
Dog shit.
Because apparently it was a lot of, like, executive meddling. Because everyone, like, looked in the past of, like, the person who took the photos. And, like, they have a very striking style.
Yeah.
And you could tell there was a lot of, like, after, like effects that were applied after that were like, well, this looks a little too like striking, or like, we don't want to put her in like this sort of like position, or like put her in this sort of like, so they made it all like very neuter.
I don't know why it's all gray backgrounds.
I don't know.
It looks,
yeah, it looks
so
like
bad.
Shit. But either way, she also said that she said, I'm collecting my Horcruxes. I'm collecting my Infinity Stones. Gandalf's voice is in my head every time I put out a new one.
Such
for me,
a fucking millennial.
It's a movie now on re-recording her old albums.
Such a fucking millennial.
That is just like the most, like that's she, when she saw that Ukraine tweet where it's like, Ukraine are the rebels fighting against Darth Vader. We're the Atraxans fighting against the, what's the Dune guys? They did that one, the Atreides. We're the House
Fremen?
Atreides, yeah. Fighting against the Harkonnens.
Yeah, okay.
That's what they said. They said, oh, we're fighting
the
against
Dune part.
Thanos with all of his Infinity Stones. And it's like the most pathetic UN tweet that they could have put out. It was like, no, it was put out by like someone who like, they knew their audience, and their audience was probably exactly Taylor Swift. She saw that and she's like, oh, you support Ukraine.
Well, I heard some people talking about, it's like very interesting how infantilizing being famous makes you, you know?
I mean, it shields you from...
It makes you unable to be a normal person.
It shields you from every problem in the world.
Yeah.
Like any like normal thing that you have to deal with, and you're like, well, the world's not like a movie. It's like, well, it technically is for them. Because
for them, they literally...
Because they also exist in a world where everyone thinks the world's a movie, and they only interact with people who think everything that they do. That's why they thought the Imagine shit was like, this is really going to bring people together. It's like, you realize people just... like watching you like as Wonder Woman. Like they don't care about you. And the people who care about you are the weird loud minority that's creepy enough that they'll go and like be like, I want to touch a celebrity. I want to be right next to her. It's like most people have like jobs and like realize that you know next to fucking nothing about anything.
Yeah, like I don't know why she is exactly that way, but because, I mean, there's celebrities that are obviously way more normal and, like, actually, like, watch TV and, like, movies and stuff.
Well, it's like...
but for her, yeah, it's like her whole life has been, like, recorded and been, like, famous forever, so... Yeah,
her life is not a normal life. And it's something where...
You can't be a normal person. I doubt she's maybe even seen... like Lord of the Rings. Maybe they made her like watch it on a flight one time and she was kind of like doing something on her phone while she was watching it
I'm sure she knows all that stuff because that's like I don't know, like pop culture osmosis.
Maybe her dad made her watch it when she was a kid and that's about
like,
it.
It's like Donald Trump watching The Whale where he has to watch it during like a big like event in like a meeting where everyone's all dressed up and he's just like watching The Whale on an iPad so he can like get reference for shit. It's like, that's how people have to interact with the media. They're like, what are the commoners enjoying now? It's
what like, do they like? They like...
How queer.
Harry Potter. No, Taylor, stay away from that one.
Taylor, no. I mean, she probably does love Harry Potter.
Yeah.
She seems like the kind of person who's
she grew up during like the Harry Potter boom.
Yeah, so she's like probably she knows her house. She's
there's
like,
only fucking four of them.
Yeah, no, but I do love how it's like people who know their house, they're always like, I'm Ravenclaw. And like for me, that's the one that I have no fucking clue.
The only thing that like the house thing might be interesting if there was more than four, but there's only four.
Yeah, so what's your favorite color? Blue. Wow.
It's like, I don't give a shit. If there was like 16 of them, maybe there'd be something interesting in there.
Every person I've known who said like, here's my house, I bought a bunch of stuff, they're always Ravenclaw. And Ravenclaw is the one where it's like, they're super duper duper smart, but they're also like, not, and they're like cunning, but they're not evil. Like
Ravenclaw
Slytherin.
And Hufflepuff are the exact same in my mind.
Yeah.
There's nothing,
But then they like explain to you why Ravenclaw is so cool. And then I'm like, wow, I really don't want to talk to you anymore. Oh my God.
Wow, you just aged 30 years in my mind.
I see them like at the end of the Ark of the Covenant. Where it's just like, they're like, ah!
Fucking melt into a skeleton.
Yeah, I don't know. The Harry Potter thing always bugged me because it was something where it was like the entire point of that book is like not something where you come back and you're like, and then I'm going to like help the people with my powers. It's always like, remove yourself from society. You're better than everyone else. Everyone who you talk to and interact with in your regular life, they fucking suck. And you're a powerful wizard and like completely separate and you don't even have to interact with them. There's a cool magical society that doesn't have
to go to, and we don't have all those stupid baby problems.
Yeah, it's like you can just completely because like most media tries to like, you know, most of the time I don't care about like, oh, media like teaches you a message, but there's something like very fucking insidious about like media where it's like, and come live in this media or like absorb this media like it's like your religion.
That is very much like the literal point of Harry Potter, is that everything is fine and good.
Yeah.
And it will always be fine and good because Harry Potter is here.
Yeah, and it's like, and you can be in the fine and good place and like remove yourself.
Nothing should be changed about the world because it's all good. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Remove yourself from all the problems of the regular world because they don't matter. They're fucking stupid, unpowered people who don't matter in the grand scheme of things. You matter because you're special in magic.
Yeah.
But every average person, they're different and suck. It's like, oh, this sucks. Like, this this is like this is not... the worst thing you can teach a child, basically.
Yeah, not ideal.
But yeah, that's all I got, pretty much. I do want to say, have you... Do you remember? I think I did a lecture when we used to do lectures on the Biggest Problem in the Universe podcast. Yeah. There's been some new drama updating on that.
With what, ISOM or
no, not ISOM. Maddox, the original guy from like way back in the day, he posted like a 3-hour expose on Dick Masterson, the other guy, and like goes into, and it's very funny because like, having followed it for this long, you understand where he's like cutting and what he's like showing you and what he's like. He's changed the like course of events where it's like, and this is why I had that for anyone who doesn't know, just look up like DigiBros Biggest Problem in the Universe, like retrospective. That's probably, but like, regardless, it's this whole like podcast drama. But all I have to say on that is that if you watch the Maddox video, having known all of like the previous stuff, it's very fucking funny because you're like, oh, this man like came out and he's just like, everyone's going to love me. And it's like, for the people who have been keeping up with like everything.
I don't think that was ever going to work out for you, man.
He's like, I stayed silent this whole time. And I'm like, you sued everyone's employers. They're like this guy who is just a guy from Nebraska who pretended to be you called Mad Cucks, who would just speak like as you, but like speak like, oh, I'm so stupid, blah. You sued him for $20 million. You sued like all of their places of employment, so a lot of them got fired. Like the guy who is like just the guy pretending to be Mad Cucks, he sued his place of employment, so he got fired from there.
That's nice.
Which is cool. He kept trying to get like everything taken down. He emailed a bunch of people jobs pretending to be like a journalist called Heather S, and she's like, do you know that your person associates with this certain podcast, and then would like take out of context clips and put their face right next to it. And he did all of that, and then all of the shit started happening because they're like, oh yeah, it's game's on. And then they're like, but look at what game he said on. About me. Look at what he said about me. He said I'm a stupid idiot. He's always tweeting about me. And it's like,
hell.
They're like, he's a stalker. He's a stalker who always tweets about me. And I'm like, all right, man. So yeah, I just had to say that because I steal a lot of bits from that original.
Whoa, wait, what are we at here?
We're good.
Oh, no, but... You watched the H Bomber Guy video?
Yeah, that's a good video.
Yes, it was a very good video. H Bomber Guy always releases bangers because he actually puts time and effort into.
There's something beautiful about like somebody who spends like a year and you just don't hear from them, and then they show up and you're like, "Yeah, I need to watch all of this.
Yeah,
like, I need to like sit
4 hours. I got that. Don't worry.
I'll do laundry, but like there will be parts where like you'll drop the laundry and just like stare at it. Like
focused.
When he said like this part is about James Sutherland, I was like, "Oh shit." Because I had seen his videos.
James
before.
Somerton? I had no idea who that guy was until I watched
I'd seen
video.
A couple of them, and they were always like this like weird like whiny tone where I was like, all right, this is like good points, but it felt like chimera, where it was like he could tell he had like a good point here, and then he'd go to like a completely separate part and it would be like, what the fuck? We're talking about this now? Like it was very like very jarring video to watch. So they weren't like comfortable watches. Like there are a couple of people who like video essays I like to watch, and he'd always be recommended alongside him.
Yeah, hard to like necessarily follow because as it turns out,
it's like entirely
plagiarized most of every part of his content. Nearly word for word, just
bar for bar,
doing the fucking little word swaps every here and then, you know, to make it a little bit more relevant to whatever point that he was trying to make.
The
I'm never really sure what those were supposed to be, considering you're plagiarizing multiple articles that all obviously have different like themes and like aspects to them.
Sometimes he didn't. Sometimes it would literally just be like Disney movie villains, and someone would write an article on that. He plagiarized that one, and then he'd like repeat points in the second part because he'd like plagiarize another article that made the same points as the other one, but like in a different way. Or like they talked about like the same. It's like back to the king again. It's like, wait, you already talked about the king and like how he was kind of gay, and you just like re-said what you said before, but in like a different from a different perspective. It's like, man,
Like the H Bomber guy brought up one video where he like there's like a whole tangent in the article about it was more relevant in the article that he stole it from, but about like a CEO of some like Universal or something like that, and how shitty he is, and he stole that and used it in the video,
And then it admitted in the video that he didn't know like why he said all that about that guy.
That's awesome. He's like in a fugue state. Like he's just,
yeah, it's like, what?
He's being like possessed by these gay articles just to be like, and also I hate the CEO of Universal. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. The one part that I really liked is they showed his scripts and they showed like what he actually added was just a bunch of just like misogyny, which was awesome. I was just like, I saw that all
he did
was take all these fucking like bitch. Cool like LGBT things, then add like it also fucking white woman,
fucking stinko. White women, boo. Just,
like white women fucking suck. And it's boo. Like, yeah, can I get an amen for that?
Yes,
and it's, like,
sir.
Because it's couched in all of this like really progressive like pro LGBTQ stuff. It's something that's really funny because he's like, he's then following it up with like, and white women also suck. So people who are already like, yeah, I agree with you, they're like, okay. I guess, or like a lot of people would just be like, yeah, I guess white women do suck because they like,
I agree.
We all agree. This is,
we're all in consensus.
This is a, trust me, when I saw that, it sold me on him more. Like I was,
big
H. Bomber guy was pulling me away because he's like, he literally plagiarized everything. And it's like, that guy's fucking
but
an
all
asshole.
Of his original content?
Just
all white women hate.
Hell.
Like,
and
oh,
I'm
shit.
Like, yes.
You gotta rebrand, man. You gotta rebrand. Become a white woman hate channel.
He did nuke his whole channel after that.
Nah, that guy's probably gonna kill himself.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, we do probably have to like,
acknowledge as a society.
acknowledge as a society that man, like, I hope H. Bomber guy, like, thought about it. He's like, this man, like, it's like a coin flip on whether or not this guy fucking kills himself.
That's obviously not his fault. People who do this kind of thing deserve to be called out, like, super fucking hard.
But it's like, it's one of those things where, like, H. Bomber guy
has a soft way to do this, you know?
Yeah, there's no, I guess, like, tweet at him. And, like, hopefully get him to stop. Like, that's one of those things where,
get him to change behind the scenes.
Like,
when he's been called out multiple times.
Like, it's hard to explain in, like, a way that doesn't make it sound like the stupidest thing in the world. But, like, an H. Bomber guy video where it's, like, 2 hours of well-researched takedowns on every single part of your life is literally, like, fucking, like, clubbing him over the head with a bat. But, like, instead of just being like, hey, buddy, you better not go there. Like, on Twitter, where he's like, hey, buddy, I saw you were plagiarizing this. Like, please don't do that. And then it was like, then they had a conversation about it. Instead, it was like, he was sitting in the back and he's like, I'm going to fucking murder.
Yeah, he walked up and fucking Jack Kirby'd the shit out of him.
Yeah. But it's like, I think he deserved it. And also, like, I didn't really like his videos that much. So for me, it's pure entertainment and I love it. But it's something where it's like, if that guy kills himself, like, H. Bomber guy has to be like, that was in the plan.
That was a part of the plan.
That was all a part of it. Like, he has to at least, like, there is like some modicum of like, hey man, like, he's gonna kill himself because of that. So like, you gotta be like, yep,
yeah.
That's a risk I'm willing to take.
Well, my other, I also like the deconstruction of internet historians cave video, because I watched that cave man in the cave video.
I thought it was really good.
The production value is really good on it, but then
it turns out it was just
it
a Vice article. I think that's probably, it is something where it's like, that's probably something where he did that and was like, oh, like, this is like just an article, and then he just basically he got into the article, he's like, I should make a video on this, and he slowly realized he's not as good of a writer as that Vice article guy, and then he's like, oink. And then he did, but you know, there's been other internet historian videos that have, like, that's probably like one of my favorites, so it kind of sucks to see him there, but it was funny to see his takedown of like the jokes that he edited back in where he's like look at Lois, this is exactly like that movie that I saw where it's all of the, like, that he shows and is able to cut out the things that don't make any sense once he like had to re-edit it because he plagiarized the whole thing. So yeah, that sucks. But
yeah, I was like, I'm just thinking, like, he's pretty fucking popular YouTuber, and you could ask like to like use their article, like, you have clout, man.
Yeah,
people are willing to like work with you on like doing things that would be beneficial for both of you.
I think it's because he's a popular YouTuber that he knows that they'd be like, no, like, no, pay us, like, fuck you, pay us.
Well, basically. Yeah, but that's like the whole point is that you get paid and they get paid.
Yeah,
instead of you.
But he's
having,
like, no,
to take
I
your video.
Get paid. I understand it from like a child perspective, where it's like, no, I
want
to make
but
the
I
video.
Want all
I want
the
people
money.
To think I'm smart, because that's like, you know, everyone wants to be H Bomber guy, who's like the most well researched, most like
pointed hours long video.
And you kind of saw that with like the Nick Is Not Green like super mega drama, where it's like they go in and they say like, here, like they lay it out like a super an H Bomber guy video, where they're like, I have all of these receipts, all of these things, and then like they just didn't do their research, so it's like, oh yeah, all of that's wrong. And then they're like, well, you know, I'm not like an actually that guy. And it's like, well, if you phrase yourself like that guy,
you shouldn't pretend to be that research guy.
You're not that guy, buddy. You're not that guy. Pal. It's that's how I see a lot of like YouTubers, where they want to be the guy who it's like, I compiled all this research, I made this, or like they read something and they're like, or they watch a video where they're like, that's amazing, that's that affected me in this way. I want to affect people in that way. And then they
just
don't
know how to like transform it in any way.
Or either yoink it entirely, that's like the worst one, or worst case scenario, they just don't do half the legwork that it takes to actually do that level of like production. It's like, there's a reason why like the H Bomber guy videos take like a year to come out. Like you get like a Roblox oof sound and then you wait like 9 months and then it's like, all right, now another
one. He's like emailing people, like trying to get like follow-ups on like certain things, like making sure that people aren't like being taken out of context.
When he says it in a video, he wants to kind of make sure that like what he's saying is like 100% a fact, and he also wants to like bridge that in a narrative that is not disingenuous. But a lot of people will not do that, and so you have this like weird group of commentary people who are like, this person did this. It's like the Turkey Tom stuff, where it's like, oh, this feels like you're just pumping these out, and it feels like you're definitely going to be like missing a bunch of like important
YouTube
things.
Is not an academic space, and there are academic people videos. Treat it like video essays are gospel.
I think that's what the interesting counterpoint between like the Maddox video, which was as long as the H Bomber guy video, where you see it and he's like presenting it in the same way, where if you were just to like flat face look at like what he says, you would just be like, oh, I guess he's telling the truth, this guy's a crazy stalker. And then you like zoom out and you're like, wait, so if you actually like do any due diligence, this guy's like, just you're if you say something confidently on YouTube, you're able to like convince most people of anything, except for in this case, no one watches this guy's videos anymore, and the only people who watch his videos thoroughly hate him. Also, I will say, at the very end of the Maddox video, he took down the original Biggest Problem in the Universe like website, and he brought it back up for this, but instead what he did was every person on the initial Dick Show Facebook group, so all the people who like joined because they were like, oh, what happened with the old podcast? And it's like, oh, this guy's got a new podcast and this guy's got a new podcast. They joined that. He published all of their full names and said all of these guys are Nazi stalkers, harass their employers.
Oh my God.
And there are a bunch of them where if you click on their names, it takes you to their employer contact sheet. And it's like 5,000 people who are just on the Facebook group. And so like most of them didn't interact. And they're like, hey, can you please like take me down? And it's like, nope, you promoted stalking. And it's like, how? It's like, you were on the Facebook group. And it's like, so there are a bunch of people who are freaking out right now. And I always just think that's funny. It's like,
that is kind of funny.
It's like, it's like something.
It's fucked up, but it is a little funny.
It's funny in like a, what the fuck are you, what's your plan here, man? Full nuclear. Yeah, either way, I think that
those are like the only people that might have been your fans.
Those were all his fans. They all just came from the old podcast. And they're like, oh, I'm a fan of this new guy because you brought me in from this. Like, all of them were his fans, and now they're like, those guys just progressively, slowly but surely began to hate him because they realized that he hated them. And like constantly in the video, they're like, the fans thought they deserved an explanation as to why the podcast broke up. The entitled piece of shit fans who decided that they deserved to know about my personal life. Fuck you and fuck everything that's about you. Your names are all on a list now. And it's like, I just wanted to know because I invest a lot of time and money into this and like thought it was a fun thing that I liked. But that's the difference between that H Bomber guy video and that. But it's something where if you speak with authority, most like on this podcast, if we say anything, like a lot of people, like
nobody's gonna look into it really.
Yeah, it's something where whenever I listen to a podcast,
they might not believe us.
You need like another person on the podcast to be like, that's not true. Like if you're going to, if you are going to, like there's a reason why I deleted our initial Israel Palestine discussion because I was like, oh yeah, this is just nothing. So like if anyone were to hear this, they'd like just go up to their family and be like, did you know?
Yeah, you think people are getting their facts from here?
I don't think they're getting their facts, but I do think that like because of the way we can...
I love a guy who, like, he doesn't know anything about Israel-Palestine except for the few times we mention it on here. He's like...
They're like, shit's going crazy.
Are they, like, people? What's yeah. going... Like...
Is it like a video game?
Like, is it, like, two people? What's going on?
The thing with that, though, is that it's more indicative of, like, how we consume media now, where we're basically... always passively consuming something, at least I am, where I'm like listening to a YouTube video, watching a stream. And so it's something where, because of that, we very uncritically take in most things that like come our way, and so it just like fills our brain until someone comes in and debunks it. But you know, it's probably that plagiarism video is probably kind of just calling that out, where it's like,
yeah, it's a bit of a wake up call for a lot of like pseudo intellectuals on YouTube.
Also, there's YouTube's kind of like a wild west for that stuff, where people are like, no one gets called out if they just fully plagiarize an article most of the time.
Yeah,
like Illuminati was just like, no, you don't really like plagiarize.
Yeah, no, you can make a quick fucking like $1,000 a month just churning out like
YouTube made like videos a month.
I don't even fucking know.
Crazy.
I hadn't heard of her either.
she just made a bunch of like MLM stuff where she would just like read the Wikipedia page basically.
Yeah.
And it's funny because that's like a genre of YouTube and everyone knows it. And then he's like, no, this should not be a genre of YouTube unless you're explicitly saying that's what you are.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there are those people who like their whole thing is just reading Reddit posts, and I respect that.
Who's
more
the strongest person in Invincible?
Just saying like whatever, you know, like. Like reading a Reddit post, you're like, and now I am reading Reddit for post, and it's like, okay, good. You said you were reading a Reddit post. You didn't say you fucking wrote that shit.
But also, it's like that's
Cheap.
It's cheap.
But you admit it.
It's dirty. It's the McDonald's of YouTube. And we're the
McDonald's. I don't fucking watch that shit, dude.
Yeah, but sometimes you come across one where it's like, what is the dirtiest thing you ever did? And there's like a guy jumping on Minecraft, and you're like, ooh, ooh. And you're
I've just got 30 minutes to wait.
Not even 30. It's like 30 seconds. It's like the TikTok
you're talking
ones.
About the YouTube shorts.
Yeah, YouTube shorts have expedited this so much. Because all of those are just like infinite plagiarism. Like I doubt.
Yeah.
It's either someone saying the dumbest shit you have ever heard in your fucking life, or it's someone taking someone else's thing and then just putting it. Did you see that one guy who was like, I make $10,000 a day doing this.
Fuck.
And he's like, I go into the office and he like hangs up his coat and he goes to his big ass like computer screens, and then he just sits down and opens his phone and screen records a popular YouTube video and then like GTA car footage, and then just
it's like GTA car footage from another like YouTube short.
Yeah, he doesn't even play the GTA car game. He just goes and then like screen records GTA car footage, and then he's like, awesome, and then he like goes
splices it together, posts it.
And then he's like, I use this. It was so funny because he did it like he's actually telling you how to do it. He's like, I use this caption thing, and it's like just one of the options in CapCut. Like one of the, he's like, these will give you the best auto captions. And I was like, you clicked a button. Like you didn't even say like, oh, let me like spell all
transcribe.
This.
Yeah,
let me transcribe this. It's like
couldn't be fucked
or like care.
Couldn't be fucked.
Yeah,
transcribe.
Well, yeah, he's got to do like 80 of those a day. He's like, I had one video that got me like $10,000 the other month, and I was like.
Oh,
what are we doing, man?
No,
well, that guy's not gonna have a job. Like, after the seas,
he might make it.
Yeah, he might. He might be the next.
He might
Jeff
survive
Bezos.
The winter.
Yeah.
We had joy. We had fun. We. Had
but yeah.
Season,
either way, I hope you guys survive the winter. Not next week.
Like
also,
seasons out of time.
Nodcast is not next week, but the week after. So,
sorry.
Because it'll actually be coming out on Christmas.
Okay.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Isn't that cool, everybody? Bye.
Bye-bye.